shall we turn the page to the Gospel of John? The Gospel of John, chapter 6. And we'll read, please, verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him, that is at Jesus, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Down to verse 47, please. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, down to verse 47, please. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this saying, this said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now turn with me, please, to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And we read verse 3. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her, that is to Zion. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her, arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. A little prophecy of Hosea, please, in chapter 6. Verse 1, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Verse 4, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Now come back to the New Testament, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, for a final reading. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. We'll just read verse 41 and a verse or two more. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 45, Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now God will bless what we have been hearing in these scriptures that we have read together. The simple thought that's upon my mind in each of these portions that we have read of things that go away. And I thought in John chapter 6, we have departing disciples. When we come to Jeremiah chapter 6, we have departing opportunities. In Hosea chapter 6, it's a departing concern. Woe unto us, woe unto thee, unto Judah, for your goodness as a morning cloud it goeth away. Departing concern. And then we have read of departing sinners in Matthew's Gospel chapter 25. And I think these are solemn portions of the Word of God. But there were those who came and followed the Lord Jesus Christ, just like there are many so-called religious people in the world in which we live today. There were many Jews that followed the Lord Jesus. They had fed on the loaves and the fishes that he had provided them with. They had seen the miracles that he had performed. They had listened to the gracious words that proceeded out of his lips. And yet they could not understand that as the Lord Jesus said to them very plainly, I am the bread which came down from heaven, that if a man eat of me, he shall live forever. They did not understand that the very one that was in their midst was the one that if they were to appropriate as the one who came from heaven had to be the Savior of the world, salvation could be theirs, eternal life could be theirs. And yet they had seen the miracles that he had performed. They had heard the words that he said. They had watched and seen all those wondrous things that he did. And they would not accept the fact that he was who he claimed to be, the very Son of God. There are those today, and they profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they have never had a moment when they truly believe that the Lord Jesus came to die for sinners upon the cross, to be the bread that God sent down from heaven, that if people would accept as the man who died for sinners at Calvary, they could have everlasting life. They could know him as their Savior. Right in the midst of the Lord Jesus' words here, he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Has there ever been a moment in your experience when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? When you understood, as we've been reminded tonight, that those sins that are taking you fast down the broad road to eternal judgment were laid upon the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Oh, we like sheep we were hearing have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's what I saw 53 years ago. We were telling the folk the other night, when for the first time it came into our thinking that the man that died upon Calvary was there bearing my sins in his own body on the tree. And I came from darkness into marvelous light because I understood the reason that Jesus died upon the cross was in order that my sins might be dealt with, that I might be prepared for heaven, that I might escape what we have been hearing, the awful damnation of eternal judgment forever. And thank God for that moment when we found Christ. Let me ask you, has there been a moment when you trusted the Savior? Oh, if tonight you were to come by simple faith to the Lord Jesus and to appropriate him as a man who died on Calvary for you, salvation could be yours eternally. eternal life, to be with Christ forever. Oh, I tell you, we've been reminded that life is short. We're here for a short period of time, and then we're gone forever. And there are hearts here that yearn for those who are still in the darkness of sin. And soon the day of opportunity will be gone. And this is the greatest time in your life when you can have the blessing of eternal salvation. These Jews, they were professing to be followers of Christ. But when it came right down to the bottom line, they could not accept the sayings of the Lord Jesus. They could not accept Him as the Son of God who came to be the Savior of the world. Many of His disciples, they turned away. They followed with Him no more. The Lord Jesus turned to His own disciples, those that were near to Him, and He said, "Will ye also go away?" Oh, I love those words of Peter. When He said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast, and we believe and are sure that Thou hast the words of eternal life." Peter is very definite and very clear. He said, "To whom shall we go?" Where are you going to go tonight, friend, for salvation? Are you going to go to the church, so-called? There's churches all around. Is that where you find salvation? You won't find salvation in the church. You won't find salvation in a creed. You won't find salvation in being baptized. You won't find salvation in living a good, honest, upright life, and that might be all very well in its place. You won't find salvation in praying. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. O friend, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ is the only source of life eternal. To know Him as your Savior, to know that all is well, I want to tell you, is the only thing that is worthwhile today. Oh, there have been those, and they have found fault with believers, and they have found fault with God's way. But friend, there's only one way. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We were preaching the gospel one time in an area of Newfoundland, and there was a man nearby. He had come to those meetings, and he had got very disturbed at times about these things, but then he began to mock. One day he was in the local tavern with a number of men gathered around, and he was mocking at the gospel and joking about it. He took a bottle in his hand and he held it up to those men. And he said, "Which has the most power?" He said, "This bottle or that book that those people are preaching out of?" And I don't know why, but for some reason that bottle broke in his hand. And everybody stopped. And he wondered what was going to happen. Well, nothing happened at that moment. But 1 week from that time, that man slipped out into eternity, not understanding that he had a disease that was incurable, gone out to meet God. I want to tell you, friend, you can't play fast and loose with eternal things. You can't go along careless and indifferent. You who have heard the gospel and know the way of salvation so well, you cannot despise the word of God, and you cannot go on turning your back on the man that died for your sins at Calvary. Oh, the solemnity of some of these things. I thought when our brother was speaking of that funeral, with about 800 people gathered there, and there in front of us, two caskets, those two young women. But oh, thank God, they knew Christ as their Savior. But I thought the other night I told about a young man who had Christian parents who heard the gospel like you're hearing it tonight. And I stood over his remains in a high school auditorium with 1,000 people gathered in that auditorium. And 300 to 400 of those people were young people just like the young man of 17 who had heard the gospel and who knew the way, who had parents that prayed, who probably decided he would get saved someday. In the car and he was traveling in, the driver slid on the ice. The car went into a pole and it struck right where he was sitting in the back of that car. Dear Ashley Rose went out into eternity, 17 years of age. I want to tell you, friend, these are solemn things. We're here for a while and we're gone forever, and nothing else really matters but knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that all is well for eternity. Are you ready? What if one of those tragedies should come your way? Oh, sometimes when we think, we look back and we think of almost 6 weeks of gospel meetings come and gone, and we think of souls who have sat under its sound. I want to tell you, it makes us feel like weeping to think that there are young people and there are older ones here tonight. And God has given you the privilege of hearing the gospel. We read in Jeremiah 6, "Woe unto us, for the day goeth away. The shadows of the evening are stretched out." You say, what does it mean? Well, it's just a very simple picture. Here were the shepherds in their tent outside the city walls, out in the place where their flocks could get pasture. But then the word is sounded, the enemy is coming. The shadows are stretched out, and what happens in evening time? The doors are closed, the gates are closed. If they don't get in, they're left outside to the mercy of the enemy. I want to tell you, friends, tonight, if you don't get in, if you don't get God's salvation now, you're left outside to the mercy of the enemy. You're left outside for eternity. Unless you get this matter settled, unless, as we've been hearing, you get down to business about this matter of your soul's salvation, the shadows of the evening are stretched out. I want to tell you, we've been hearing about the coming of the Lord. This day of grace that God has given us, this time of golden opportunity, is going to stop one day. And it could be before a meeting tomorrow night. The last meeting, as far as we know at this time, the Lord could have come. No, for saints, it'll be a glorious time. But oh, I think that some of you dear folks, you'll be left. If the Lord were to come tonight, say He were to come tonight, before I'm finished speaking, the platform would be empty. My Bible would still be here. You'd see Bibles on the chairs and hymn books. As you see a lot of people missing, gone. Or they'd find some explanation for it, but you know that the Lord has come and you're left behind for judgment. Never another opportunity of hearing the gospel. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away. The shadows of the evening are stretched out. Friend, tonight, the day of opportunity is just about over. And if you're going to get in, now is the time to make one tremendous effort. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. We've been hearing, ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And friend, when you want to get God's salvation, there is salvation there. Death could end it all. The coming of the Lord could end it all. It could be that the Spirit of God will cease to strive. Oh, that solemn possibility. God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. I tell you, there's young men, we've seen them in the audience in nights gone by. I don't know where they are tonight. Maybe it's off to the soccer game. Maybe it's off to the pleasures of the world. Maybe it's off to something else. Something more important than the salvation of one's soul for eternity. May I remind you tonight that there is absolutely nothing worth losing your soul for. Don't let anything stand in your way. The Lord Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. It just means set everything else to one side and make it your one aim in life to get this matter of your soul's salvation settled. There'll come a time when you'll long for salvation and you'll not be able to get it. I heard a very solemn story many years ago. Because I heard others, heard my father telling it, I can't verify the truth of it. But here was a woman, and she had heard the gospel like you're hearing it many, many times. There had been times when she was troubled about her soul. There were times when she thought she should get the matter settled, but she kept putting it off. Then one day, she took sick. And she's lying in her bed. And the doctor has told her that her condition will terminate very soon. She'll be gone. And she's trying to resurrect those thoughts that she once had about her soul. But they just don't seem to come. She asked for a Bible to be brought. But it didn't seem to make any difference to her thinking. Other things were brought that she asked for to try and get those thoughts back that she had about her soul. And finally, in desperation, she asked them if they would bring in the casket that she was to be buried in. Very strange request. Maybe they could do it in those days. I doubt they do it today. She brought that casket in. She put out her hand and she stroked the silk and the satin of that casket. And they heard her say, cold, cold heart of mine. Cold, cold heart of mine. No response. No response to the one that died for sinners on Calvary. Oh, and the solemnity of a soul going out to meet God without Christ. I say we could weep for sinners. To hear the prayers of God's people. To know that in homes there are fathers and mothers that pray and weep for souls that they might be reached and saved. And they go on careless and indifferent. Spurning the love of the one who came to die for sinners at Calvary. Saying like Felix did of old, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You'll never read of them having it. Friend, this is your convenient season. This is your time of opportunity. I want to say it's passing away. Just like the evening as the sun descends and the day comes to an end, your opportunities are going to come to an end. We read about a departing concern. Oh, I think of those tribes that the Lord was speaking about, Ephraim and Judah. He said, your goodness as a morning cloud, it goes away. Just like those morning clouds at times that appear, and then the sky clears. That concern is going to move away, and you'll wish you could be concerned. You'll wish you had that concern that you had in the meetings, and it'll be gone. There was that time when you were younger, and you were soft, and you were pliable, and you thought seriously about these things. And then other things came in to take your time and attention, and you got occupied with the world and all it has. I think of a young man I heard about in a small town. Very athletic. In fact, he was the star of all the games in that area. Gospel meetings came to that area. He came out and he listened to the gospel meetings. Very troubled about his soul. But he said, if I get saved, I won't be able to enjoy those things that I'm going in for, those sports. He said, I'll get saved later on. 10 years later, the preacher who had been preaching at those meetings was passing through that town. He was walking down the street, and he recognized this young man, now 10 years older, coming up the roadway. When they came together, he greeted him. He said, do you remember me? The younger man said, yes, I remember you. You were here 10 years ago, preaching the gospel. He said, young man, are you saved? He said, no, sir. Why didn't you get saved? He said, I love the sport. Would you like to be saved? Doesn't bother me very much now. And then to the amazement of that preacher, that man fell on the pavement, right there in front of him. He unbuttoned his collar, and he rushed up to a nearby home, and he called for help, called for an ambulance, for somebody to come, a doctor. And they came and they took that young man away to the hospital. And what had happened was a blood vessel had burst. And in a few days, that young man had an eternity. 10 years ago, troubled about his soul. There may be some in this meeting tonight. And God is giving you the opportunity during this series of gospel meetings to get the matter of your soul salvation settled. What's going to happen? Are you going to get it? Are you going to strive to enter in? Are you going to take Christ as your Savior? He died for your sins at Calvary. He paid redemption's price in full. He cried with a voice of triumph, it is finished and the work was done. And there's nothing you can do but come as a poor sinner and rest your all on the work that was accomplished at Calvary. And salvation can be yours. Those words were coming before me tonight that we read in Matthew 25. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. These shall go away. Who shall go away? Christians' children. Who've heard the gospel, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Who shall go away? Procrastinators, those who thought they would get it settled later on, but not just now. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Who shall go away? False professors, those who wanted to go along with the Christians and let it be known that they were a Christian, but they never really got saved. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Who shall go away? The careless, the indifferent. I wonder, is there any here tonight in this company on this side? You'll be among those who will go away into everlasting punishment. any down this side, you will go away into everlasting punishment. Oh, friend, listen. There's a Savior that stands before you tonight. There's a salvation provided at infinite cost. And if you would grasp the lifeline, if you would take Christ as your Savior, salvation could be yours. It could be yours tonight. I wonder if there's a soul and you'll make your choice for Christ. Remember, it could be tonight or never. May God help you to flee to Christ before it's too late. We would plead with you. Make your choice for the Lord Jesus. This is your golden opportunity. Meeting tomorrow night might not be one. This is the time. Oh, then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? God help you to come to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Our Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the privilege of opening thy word tonight, seeking to warn men and women and boys and girls of the danger of going on without Christ. Seeking, Father, with the help of God to point out a man who died for sinners on the tree, who came into this world to be the Savior of mankind, who gave himself a ransom for us, who shed his precious blood to put away sin, who bare our sins in his own body on the tree, now glorified at thy right hand in heaven, coming again soon to receive us unto himself. Father, we pray that thou speak to hearts tonight. Grant that there might be some who will give in to the dealings of God. And there the night comes to a close. May close in with thine offers of mercy and trust thy Son. We ask thy blessing, again commending to thee those who mourn dear ones who are gone. We ask thy blessing and give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing a little before we go. Number 129 is a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord. For the call of his Spirit is lost. You hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? The chorus says, have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cost?